Well, Psalm 27, we get to hear from one of the most committed worshipers in the Bible, King David. He loved the Lord, and he expressed that love in the gathering of God's people, and it seemed to be a repeated theme in a lot of the Psalms. And when you look at the Psalms as a whole, you know, David wrote at least 73 of them. So that would be like writing 73 pop number one hits, if that still happens in the music world. I'm not sure if it does, but it did when I was young. But King David, 73 psalms. So they've been sung for about 3,000 years, people praising God with these words. And certainly Jesus used these words to praise God when he was growing up, as the psalms were part of his worship time. So David's described in Acts 13 as a man after God's own heart. You know, and he writes, Lord, you say, seek my face. Or our heart says of God, seek his face. And Lord, your face we seek. So David's saying, God really helps me worship him. I can't worship God without God's help. I'll get lost. I'll make up a God of my own imagination. I'll end up worshiping myself. Some disastrous thing like that. But David, he just couldn't get enough of worshiping God. And he would be a faithful, you might say, he'd be a faithful church guy if he was alive today. That's kind of the way he was. And so we see his testimony on worship a bit in Psalm 26 and 27. And some of the verses that stand out. 26, which wasn't read, but here it is. I go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming news about your praise, proclaiming your praise. And the altar was a place where God's people gathered. And he said, you know, we have to meet God by having our sins forgiven. And here's a gift to God, because he will forgive us. And so David was saying, hey, it's important for me to go and be around what God would do for me, to be centered in Christ, the way we would put it, and proclaim God's praise. And a little bit later in that psalm, I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Now, David had tabernacle to worship in. Okay, like a big old tent, I guess. And the temple wasn't even built yet, but he had a heart toward gathering with God's people, which he would say that would be the house of God, and to praise the Lord. And we know as believers, really, the way we meet God is not in a particular place, but it's in a particular person, and that's Jesus. Hey, Jesus is really the place of worship for us. But that doesn't mean we say, well, therefore we don't have to gather. Because we worship Jesus everywhere, we also worship Jesus when we gather. That's a part of the praise that David practiced, and we could practice too. Later in Psalm 26, in the great assembly, I will praise the Lord. Okay, so praise, which we've experienced a bit this morning, is hearts together, surrendered to God, bowed down, given to God in thanks, and just rejoicing in him and giving him honor. So, place of gathering. He uses the word again, tabernacle, house, temple. One thing I ask of the Lord, Psalm 27, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Okay, that's gathering together, both in creation, but also his gathered people. Seek him in his temple. I'll be in the shelter of his tabernacle. I feel close to God when I worship him. And at his tabernacle, I will sing and make music to the Lord. That's quite a God-centered experience he's having. And he wants to have it with other people. Okay. David had a great prayer and devotional life, you know. He would go off on his own, I'm sure, and pray and seek God. He knew the Lord by serving God and that type of thing. But he knew God well in the gathering of God's people. And that was a big part of his relationship with the Lord. And so to know that David had that, as busy as a guy as he was. Okay, he was a king of a nation. So he had ruling to happen, you know. And he was a soldier, so he had battles to fight. But he would say, more than ruling a nation and more than fighting battles, what's important to me is worshiping God with his people. Now that's something that we can ask God to give us a heart for. Okay, I've been a Christian a long time. In my own prayer life, I've never consciously said, Lord, help me worship you wherever I go, and especially with your people as much as possible. In fact, Lord, I'd love to do that all the time. That would be kind of a unique prayer. I know a lot of Christians have never heard a Christian pray that as a prayer request. David prayed that as a request. He said, one thing I seek, one thing I ask, to praise God. And he knew it was a reflection of his long-term relationship with God. It was good to give thanks to the Lord. And so in our culture and language, David would simply say, hey, I'd love to go to church and worship God. Okay, that was a part of who he was. And we could ask God to build that into us also. I think the Lord brings that about in us. I've shared before that, you know, when I turned to Christ and believed in him for the first time, it took me about a year and a half to wake up to the blessing of worshiping with others. First of all, I didn't even do it for the first year and a half. I didn't know that this would be a part of saying thank you, God, for you. I just read the Bible at home, try to follow the Lord every day, you know, bang my head spiritually and all kind of difficulties and problems. I had very little contact with other believers. And that year and a half, it was good to know the Lord, but it was bad in terms of I didn't serve anybody else. You know, I didn't give thanks to God with people. That wasn't a part of who I was. But once, it was really thankfully through other people who said, oh, would you want to go to church with me? Sure, why not? You know, I believe in Jesus. I did sincerely. And so that was the beginning of saying, wow, it was like, this is good. It's really good to praise God among his people. And it began to take a real strong priority in my life, even though I make excuses for myself when I don't or when I'm reluctant to. The pastor who would rather not go to church, that's a problem, you know. And so I identify with that struggle if you have that in your own life. But looking at other things that we do make high priority on. If you ask me to work 7 days a week, I'll do it. And I'm sure many of you are the same. If you say, you know, make sure you work out 3 times a week, keep that heart in shape, you know, I'll do that. You can count on me 3 times a week. I'm at least 25 minutes, you know, doing something. In the fall, this is not good. I just realized this. In the fall, 5 days a week, I'm all over football. 5 days a week. That's an embarrassing confession. Sunday for sure. Monday night, I'll be there. Thursday night, yeah, now Thursday night. Friday night, high school. Saturday night, college. That's 5 days a week. It's like I'm all in. I can give you, you know, a starting lineup for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Well, not quite, but I used to be able to. But that's, God says, seek me. Seek me. This is really good for your soul. And you can enjoy the football, you know, in an appropriate manner. Not so much. Spurgeon said, David desired God so much and to praise him that all the other desires were kind of, it was almost like he didn't desire anything else. He says, I'm going to praise God. It's a really good thing. So ask God. You know, he promises in Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. I'll give you a new heart. And if David was a man with a heart after God, God can give you and me that new heart. Because naturally, we're going to be torn. We're going to worship something in creation as opposed to God himself. We're going to begin to put a high value on blessing his people and being with them. Remember a simple acrostic, J-O-Y, Jesus over you. And so we say, this is for Him. We gather for Jesus, we gather for blessing others, and then we receive also. Now, struggles in our own life and in the culture, why I don't worship God in church. This is my most honest list that I can come up with from my own soul and from listening to all of you. Now, just some people. Why I don't worship God in church. I'm tired. And, you know, Jesus understands that. People fell asleep on Him during prayer time. So, He understands, even if we're willing, you know, we're wiped out by the difficulties we have. I'm busy. I have a lot going on in my life. That's probably a poor excuse, but it is a part of who we are. Praise to God is boring. Usually that happens in our soul when we're out of touch with God or some bit of confusion is occurring. If something is happening in worship where either you and I don't understand or we can't join in for some reason, we could say, God, help me, you know. Certainly the Lord's not boring, and praising Him's not boring. Since heaven is filled with praises all the time, we can learn to join the heavenly chorus, as it were. This next one is more common, I believe. I don't go to church because I am in too much pain. And this often happens. Physical pain, emotional pain, pain in my relationship with God. And it's hard to say, I don't want to be with other people, or even say, I don't want to hear about how wonderful God is when I am getting destroyed here by the circumstances of life. Okay, and that's an understandable difficulty. However, David found that when he was able to move himself even among God's people, when he was tremendously hurting, God lifted that pain just a bit. He was able to know, oh, God's going to shoulder this with me. Never forget the guy who went on a hunting trip with his son over the weekend, came home Saturday night to find his wife had passed away. So he finds his wife passed away about 8:30 at night. The next morning, at the 8:30 service, he is in church, him and his son. And it was, you know, oh my, we had heard that this had happened. And the pastor said, do you talk with him beforehand? Are you sure you want to be here? You know, I mean, he was being kind, but he said, you sure maybe you want to just wait in my office? You want to go home for a while, rest? The man said, where else would I go? So he found a measure of comfort and strength. Even, I'm sure he didn't sing that morning. I'm sure he didn't hear anything in the sermon that morning. But there was something about saying, I want God's worship just to, you know, carry me through this. Carry me through this. That's too much pain. Many other loves, that's a problem. Downright honesty, I don't go to church because I don't love God and I don't love people. I would love somebody to actually be honest enough to say this. When I ask them the question, how you been? Miss you in church. Well, it's because I don't love God and I don't love people. Well, thank you. You're halfway, you know, you're halfway to meeting the Lord. Just be right honest with it. And this the second part is understandable because I've been in settings where if I loved 100 people that I was worshiping it with, but I was, let's say, at extreme odds with two, I'd often not even go. I can't stand the thought of being in that room with those two people, you know. Never mind the fact that I'm loving the other ones. Really, I mean, I should love the enemy, as Brother Bassam at the 8:30 service said. But to give that to God and meet Him anyway, what good things can He do? Another honest confession, I can't stop thinking about me. That's a problem. I feel more spiritual in nature. Golf, in the woods. That may in fact be the case, but still, you can know the Lord among His people. Okay. That's just the pattern in the Bible. And the last one, I love God in other ways. The unique thing about worship is a time where we give everything to God. And when you think about it, it doesn't happen in any other context. Not in Awana, not when we serve, you know, doing bags of food or something like that. Those are all good. Not in Sunday school. People don't say, stop, let's just sing to God a whole bunch of songs about how great He is and pray. Let's just talk to God, okay? Let's just talk about offering. Let's just give to God. In worship, everything's about God, 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 and God. And this is hard for the person obsessed with self. But I want. I come to church for me. Oh, you know. You're never going to get anywhere that way. My favorite illustration, it's an old one, but say you're having a birthday party for our dear friend Robert Gray. Robert Gray, he comes to church, he's 90, almost 90. He gets dialysis 3 days a week, you know, hooked up to a machine 15 hours a week. But he's here normally, and ironically not here today. But, oh, there he is, Bob. Thank you. So we go to a birthday party for Bob Gray to praise him and thank him and honor him. And before you get there, you say this. You say, I hope I get something out of this. No, we're going to a birthday party for Bob Gray. Okay? And when you get there, people are saying, he's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny. They're talking to Bob. They're giving gifts to Bob. They're singing, Robert Gray, Robert Gray, Robert Gray, Robert Gray, Robert Gray. Okay. And it's just a wonderful time. He's taking it all in. And at the end, you go home with your family, and, well, that was wonderful, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, that was okay. I didn't get much out of it. Wait a minute. To worship God. Bow to Him. Surrender to Him. Give to Him. Love Him. Talk to Him. Okay. Where we're not used to doing that. We're used to worshiping almost everything else. But we can worship God. Give us a heart after God. And that's another topic I don't want to deal with. But when you think of the Lord, we'll close with this. And just thinking about His greatness. And either by looking at the words or just listening. The God who loved us first. The Jesus who's with us now, gave His life, rose from the dead. His wonderful Spirit who dwells in every believer. Okay, He's in charge of our lives. As Rachel sang so well, He's watching out for us in the good times and every difficulty. He's with us. And so the one that we've gathered for today and we have communion with, Just consider Him a couple of words. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, always present everywhere, like Marty prayed. Oh, you mean even in church? Yes, even in church. Always present everywhere. He's a creator. Love the thought. Kuiper said, not a square inch of the universe God doesn't say, this belongs to me. So again, our times are in His hands. He's all compassion. Thank Him for His heart like that. He's counselor. He'll tell us how to follow Him. He's eternal. He's the everlasting Father. He's faithful, a friend, and forgiving. He's glorious, full of grace and truth. He's good and He's great. Sometimes children put it best, you know, when they learn a simple prayer. God is great. God is good. He's holy. He's the I am. He's a healer of the, someone said, not only of the broken, but of the crushed and destroyed. He has holy anger. So we're thankful. We can rely on somebody to tell us the way it is. That's going to be the Lord. He's imminent. That means He's near. And just a few more good things about the Lord. Infinite, I don't even know what that means, but it's without limits, immutable. He doesn't change. We can rely on Him. He's invisible, incomprehensible, King and Lord, loving and life, judge and just, maximum respect, majestic and merciful, patient Redeemer, resurrection righteous, triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When you say God, you talk about the Holy Spirit, you talk about the Son, you talk about the Father. It's the same. Patient and sovereign, a Savior who suffers, His Spirit, His Shepherd, above, wise and wonderful, and, you know, God has never lacked zeal. That's the way He is. Just how great and wonderful He is. And just to worship like David did. Have that desire, have that commitment, you know. If I had one thing to pray, that I would always be a worshiper of God among His people. And what a great, you'll be doing that all the way to heaven. That would be great. And so we say, as an act of worship, bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. And be a worshiper like David was. God can help us with that. Let's pray together. Lord, You invented worship, and so we're so glad that as a result of love, we bring You honor. We bow down. We surrender all the things toward Yourself that we're not used to. We put a high priority on. And Father, pray You give us a new heart to praise You as we work, as we have relationships, but also as we gather. And this will be a picture of heaven. So give us that heart after Yourself, and make Your name be praised all the time by Your people, and gathered so to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We meet the Lord at His table. Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body given for you." And after supper, our Lord took the cup, and after giving thanks, He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this remembering me." For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim Jesus' death until He comes. And we meet with a living Savior. So, let's pray together before our communion time. Father, for those who hurt, we remember them this morning. Perhaps coming out of the hospital or approaching difficulties. We pray, Father, You'd give grace, perseverance, help and healing to the broken. And unexpected strength, because they would say, "The Lord is my strength." And we pray, Father, for our walk with You, that would be about the trust of You and just Your grace and truth in our lives. We thank You for Your mercy to the people in Hawaii as the land gets clobbered and homes crumble. It's very sad and a lot of grief. Yet we know in our lifetime our homes will crumble sooner or later. And the land won't be under our feet forever. We'll be in the new land, the promised land. So we pray for Your sustaining grace for those folks. We pray for Rachel Wilson. We thank You so much for her. We pray for Brother Bassam ministering in the West Bank. Bless him with many, many good relationships there. And hear our silent prayers.